Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On day 199 of our year of the Bible, day 199, still at the beginning here of Isaiah, looking at chapters 12 through 14, which ended up being a consequential set of books. So let's jump in. Chapter 12 sort of is the conclusion, or the beginning of chapter 12 is the conclusion of chapter 11. And at the end of chapter 11, there's some talk about gathering the exiles again, that God is gathering the exiles again. And so chapter 12 starts with a song of praise. On that day, that is the day that the exiles return, I will praise you, Lord, all this kind of stuff. Okay, fantastic. In chapter 13, though, you get this prophecy against Babylon. All right, so a prophecy against Babylon that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw. Now, what is Babylon? So Babylon is both, so up until now in Isaiah, they've been talking about Assyria. Because at the time when Isaiah was most active there, Assyria was the big, here at the beginning, Assyria was the big superpower. Assyria was the one that was going to come down. Assyria had already taken over the northern kingdom and was very much threatening Jerusalem, Judah, the southern kingdom. So Assyria is what they're talking about. Now, chapter 13, he turns to Babylon. Now, Babylon is both a city and a country. If you think about, like, Rome, we talk about, like, we just use, you know, think about ancient history. We talk about Rome. In Rome, they did this, and Rome did this. But we also use the word Rome to refer to the Roman Empire. You know, same kind of thing. So they're Babylon. So there's a king of Babylon, and the Lord says, the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Now, up until this point, there has been a lot of condemnation of Judah and of Jerusalem, the Lord's people. And about the way that the Lord is going to use those other people to execute the judgment against Judah. But here, he's saying, but don't get me wrong. Just because you're bad doesn't mean that, or I shouldn't say that. Just because you're doing bad stuff doesn't mean that the other countries are doing good stuff, right? So they're also going to receive God's judgment too. But Babylon has a special place. Babylon is so Babylon is the empire that will end up being the one that sacks Jerusalem, right, and takes all the people off into exile and all that kind of stuff. That's absolutely true. He talks about the eventual fall of Babylon in this prophecy. He talks about the fall of Babylon, and man, oh man, he talks about it in quite graphic, horrible, gruesome terms. They will not have mercy on the infants. They will not look with compassion on children. The they there are the Persians. It says Medes, but it's the Medes and Persian, the Medeo-Persian Empire, something like that. Anyway, the Medes and the Persians get together. They become the reigning superpower after Babylon and defeat Babylon. And so Babylon, which will come to be the most cosmopolitan, amazing, wonderful city, will be sacked too. And so in verse 19, he says, Babylon, the jewel of kingdoms, the pride and glory of the Babylonians, will be overthrown by God like Sodom and Gomorrah, and she will never be inhabited or lived in throughout all generations. Not even nomads will pitch their tents there. It's going to be awful. Sure enough, by the way, in the fullness of time, Babylon is destroyed by the Medo-Persians, and has never been restored. It fell, and periodically there will be attempts to, you know, renew it in one way or another, but nobody goes and visits Babylon the way we go and visit Rome, for example, you know, or Rome famously fell, but not like this. You can go visit Rome today. Anyway, you can't do that, and then you're gonna celebrate. Now, I need to mention chapter 14, verse 12, sort of 12 and following. It says, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You've been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. Now, the word for morning star there, or is it son of the dawn? I don't remember. Morning star or son of the dawn. It's referring to, generally, it's referring directly there to Venus. I'm talking about Venus, the planet, which during certain parts of the year shines most brightly before the sun comes up. Other times it doesn't, but usually it does. So son of the dawn. The Latin word for that, son of the dawn, is Lucifer. That's the Latin word. And so when Jerome translated this into Latin, he used the word Lucifer there. And so that's where the word Lucifer comes from. And that's why we talk about it in the way that we do. It is not a proper name, right? So in the Latin text, which does have capitalization, it is not capitalized. Of course, Hebrew doesn't have capitalization. So there you are, and that's how you get Lucifer. Because it says, you have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. So look, we don't have to, we can buy into Lucifer, you know, that it's referring to Lucifer or to the devil or to Satan here if we want to. We don't have to if we don't want to, you know, it doesn't, you know, your salvation does not depend on that. But I think the more general idea that, how shall we say? Well, look, this is drawn on in the book of Revelation, which is partly why I don't want to get rid of it. In Revelation, they don't talk about Lucifer. They talk about the dragon. Now, St. Georgians know a little something about dragons, and that the great dragon is thrown down. So again, you know, take it for what you will. But what Revelation makes clear is that in the actions of people and in the actions of countries and empires, Revelation says the great dragon is involved in some way, right? I think we can see that, right? If you take this great dragon, if you take Lucifer to mean like the forces of evil and darkness in the world, yeah, we've seen that. We've seen that, and we're seeing it right now, right? It's, you know, so that's the thing. And the big promise of Revelation is that that dragon, those forces will be defeated, will be fully defeated. And that's what Isaiah is saying here, that it will be fully defeated. So a couple things are happening here. Isaiah is talking about the actual Babylon, right? The Babylon, the kingdom, and the actual king of Babylon, as well as talking about this sort of larger context of, he's called it like the law of double interpretation, as well as this larger context of the spiritual warfare that goes on, which the Lord has already won in the resurrection of Jesus, and that victory that will be fully consummated in the last days. But here he describes the assumption. I just had to point this out because it's so kind of brilliant. I mean, even just like literally brilliant. The assumption of the king of Babylon, right? Which we can also read as like the forces of darkness. Look at 14, 13 through 15. Look at all those statements that begin, I will. This is what the king says. I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne. I will sit enthroned. I will ascend to the top of the earth. I will make myself like the Most High. And then he says, but. God says, but, in verse 15, but you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit. He's gonna destroy Babylon. He's gonna destroy the king of Babylon like a corpse trampled underfoot. You will. And then God says in verse 22, I will rise up against them. I will wipe out Babylon's name. I will turn her place into a place for owls. I will sweep her with the broom of destruction, as I planned it, so it will be. As I persist, it will happen. I will crush the Assyrian. I will trample him down, and so forth. And there are some oracles against the Philistines. Anyway, that's important. It's important for the way we later read Babylon when it comes to Revelation. Babylon takes on this sort of metaphorical representation of all the forces of badness in the world. So in Revelation, when we talk about Babylon being fallen for good, right, for good, there is no chance of you know, a resuscitation of Babylon. This is sort of where it's coming from, and that's important. Revelation draws a lot from Isaiah, and here's an example. And there's one other thing I wanted to say, and I can't remember what it was. I just wanted to mention that how important is Babylon biblically? The city that's named the most is Jerusalem in the Bible. The city that's mentioned second most is Babylon. Babylon is the counterpart to Jerusalem. And Babylon in the fullness of time is and will be and is overthrown. And in the fullness of time, the city that prospers is the New Jerusalem. So there we go. Love this stuff. Love this stuff. The forces of evil in the world, everything that you know that militates against the flourishing of the people of God, it will go away. It will be destroyed. Fallen will be Babylon. It will be trampled underfoot. You don't need to worry about that. All right, let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, have a great rest of your day. Talk to you tomorrow, day 200.